Thanks, Marianne, for putting this panel together. There's a lot of interest in the trade issue at this conference, and only for good reason. And Marianne suggested this is a topic, trade, tobacco and trade, while the commotion. Is there any commotion? I think there might be a little bit about this. I have no relationships to disclose, for better or for worse. Just in perspective, you're aware that tobacco is a global scourge. Globally, 6 million people die annually from tobacco use, over 600,000 due just to exposure to secondhand smoke. And it's projected the deaths will rise to 8 million per year by 2030, increasingly in developing countries. Now, this is a scourge, but there's been a lot of effort and a lot of research into what can we do about it. And so the evidence-based measures endorsed by the 2005 international agreement called the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, FCTC, has these as the major evidence-based strategies to confront tobacco. Tax and price measures to reduce tobacco consumption, banning tobacco advertising, promotion, and sponsorship, creating tobacco or smoke-free work in public places, promoting prominent health warnings on packaging, and combating illicit tobacco trading in tobacco products. Now, the countries that have ratified this framework convention, or to most of the countries of the world, are obligated. They have committed to implementing these policies in their own countries, and there's a lot of effort to do that, and a lot of success. But adoption and implementation of such measures affect the profitability of the tobacco industry, goes without saying. And all of these measures are subject to challenge by corporations, and this is important too, and or sympathetic national governments through bilateral, regional, and global trade agreements, and also bilateral investment treaties. Now, trade law obligations, and I'm not a trade lawyer. I'm just a troublesome advocate. I've been involved with this because this is an incredibly important area, but I've tried to learn as much as I could. But it looks like, from my perspective, the trade law obligations constrain public policy options. I mean, they can definitely threaten advertising, tobacco, taxation, import bans and quotas and tariffs, regulations of product characteristics, regulating retail outlets, for example, and product labeling and packaging. These are things that there may be constraints on public health policy. Now, tobacco industry is incredibly powerful, and they use legal challenges to national public health measures. For example, litigation or support for litigation under multilateral and bilateral investment agreements to prevent, delay, or weaken implementation of evidence-based tobacco control measures that are part of the FCTC, as I mentioned. And I like to look at this. This is a concept that came to me from a professor from the University of Texas and who was an alcohol researcher. And he talked about the perfect storm. And it's a picture of one of our famous hurricanes. And we have a perfect storm for a non-communicable disease. We have a confluence of economic growth, low price of tobacco, demographics, a lot of young people, corporate targeting of these markets of potential customers, baiting the trap by all kinds of products, weak public health infrastructure, and sometimes our international bodies are compromised by having to at least consult with industry. And then we have the trade agreements. All these together make for a perfect storm for NCDs. Now, the World Trade Organization has been promoting liberalizing trade policies by the promoting competition and efficacy, and this is how they put it. They want more competition and efficiency, and that provides lower prices and better quality, wider consumer choice, and increased domestic and foreign investment, all of which lead, in their words, in their belief, to economic growth and raised standards of living. So the social determinants of health would be global trade. We'll have better health and everything. Everything will be better if we can liberalize the trade agreements. And that is the neoliberal ideology. Now, the goals of free trade are to remove regulations, and ending regulations shall process toward freer trade. There's more and more liberalization, and this will be irreversible in the trade agreements. Now, unfortunately, there's a fundamental conflict of interest. The aim of trade liberalization is to increase sales and consumption. Well, some things that might be good, but for many products, that isn't necessarily good, is it? Because the aim of tobacco control measures, and you can, during my whole talk, you can take out tobacco and put in alcohol, for example. I mean, they're interchangeable in my mind. The aim of tobacco control policies are to reduce the overall consumption and the harmful consequences from the consumption. Now, unfortunately, the trade agreements are negotiated primarily in secret by governments, often and almost always in consultation with business interests. Now, the trade environment, the WTO agreements are agreed to globally by 160 countries, but there are also hundreds of regional and bilateral agreements that exist, and many more under negotiations. Now, trade treaties no longer focus merely on eliminating import restrictions and discriminatory measures. Trade now seen as globally integrated flows of capital, of services, of products, of information, and elite personnel. The trade and investment agreements open up foreign markets to tobacco or control or alcohol industries. They facilitate market access. Foreign direct investment leads to increased access to the market and access to other markets having preferential trading arrangements within the host state. These agreements lower the tariffs, remove non-tariff barriers to trade and regulatory measures, for example, and provide a set of legal rules for industry to resist regulation. Now, currently, there's a whole bunch of agreements around the world, but very prominently and publicly, there's a Trans-Pacific Partnership, which many of you have heard about, between 12 Asian Pacific countries for the last 5 years. There's also under serious discussion with our European partners, the Transatlantic and Investment Partnership, the TTIP. So we've got the TPP and the TTIP. And then we also have the trade and service agreements that are being negotiated. And you've seen variations of this map, I'm sure, at some other sessions during the conference already, but the Trans-Pacific Partnership deals with, you know, many of the largest economies of the world, and was just signed on the 5th of October of this year, just a few weeks ago. Now, from a tobacco standpoint, Malaysia was very concerned about the provisions of the that were being discussed by the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So several years ago, they wanted a table. Now, table has a different meaning than the trade thing. That means they presented. They want to put on the table something for discussion, not to put it away out of discussion, but a carve-up to exclude tobacco totally from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And this would mean that any provision of the Trans-Pacific Partnership would not apply to tobacco control measures such as plain packaging. So there's nothing, the agreement could not touch anything related to tobacco control. That's a complete carve-out. Now, they had definitely in mind what was very, very widely known when Australia wanted to have plain packaging. where all the tobacco packs had to be boring and dull. You had to look on the bottom for the name of the brand, which couldn't be in any distinctive color or design. It had to be in the same type of type. And it was large pictures that accurately portrayed the implications of tobacco. Big warnings. The Australian government was attacked first in the courts in their own country, and then through some provisions of a treaty that Australia had with Hong Kong. I better hurry. So this was in mind, and also these Uruguay wanted to do the same thing. Now, the industry have money to challenge. Global tobacco industries could afford lengthy and costly arbitration to stop precedent-setting policies. New Zealand thought that in some of their investment arbitration, it would cost $2.5 to $4 or $5 billion. The cost of defending a WTO dispute was well over $1 million. Australia estimated that they were spending up to $50 million in their cases with the industry. Now, little Uruguay wants to do the same thing. Didn't have the money. They got money from the Bloomberg to help in their fight, because Philip Morris has more money than the entire country of Uruguay. But the U.S., you know, this agreement was agreed by the 12 parties a few weeks ago, and the U.S. Congress has something called Fast Track, where the treaty hasn't even been made public to everyone. But in advance, the Congress has to agree that they will only vote up or down on the entire agreement with no amendments. But the U.S., with a lot of pressure, offered some exemption on tobacco. And this exemption in the TPP only related to investor-state provisions, investor-state dispute settlement. And the language of the U.S. Trade Representative's memo to the public is a country may elect to deny the benefits of investor-state dispute settlement with respect to a claim challenging a tobacco control measure. May elect. Now, this investor state gives a foreign investor, a foreign company, standing to bring a claim against the whole country and can seek compensation. And this concession by the U.S., just to have the investor state the possibility of not having the investor state provision and therefore tobacco, is a sea change. It is a precedent-setting thing for the U.S. government to go that far. But it only permits it still permits country-to-country trade challenges, not the investor-to-country, but countries can challenge another country, and tobacco companies can still file investor state charges if they assert the regulation is discriminatory to the trade interests of a particular country. For example, when we got clobbered by the ban on cloves, when we wanted to ban clove cigarettes, Indonesia said, no, you can't, because you're discriminating. You're allowing menthol cigarettes in the U.S. That's a flavored substance, too, so you're discriminating, and we lost that case. Now, there have been efforts by a number of organizations to remove tobacco from the trade agreements. Won't go into that. So, but in order to avoid negative impacts to avoid negative impacts to health associated with restrictions to tobacco control measures, we need to ensure that the provisions of trade agreements do not limit the capacity of governments to introduce and implement priority interventions to maintain or improve public health, particularly for tobacco control. And given the harmful effects of tobacco, we need to exclude from the trade agreements tobacco products, policies, and laws to regulate them, and any services or any investment related to their advertising, promotion, distribution, etc. And in order to avoid continuing, we need to make explicit in trade agreements that where they might be of any potential conflict between a country's obligations under the Framework Convention and the trade agreement, that the Framework Convention, with all its provisions and policies, has to be precedent. take precedent over the trade agreement. And we need to adopt interventions which are part of a comprehensive activities to achieve the health outcome and invest research dollars and resources in developing the evidence base for public health interventions, particularly in relation to tobacco. Now, I don't have time to mention, maybe I do, there is a policy that hopefully is being adopted right now by the Governing Council, and Liz was the lead author on this, to ensure trade agreements promote health, and it's already been on the consent calendar for Governing Council. But the part that relates to tobacco in it is that if this is adopted by APHA today, I think it will, we will call on the APHA to urge the U.S. Trade Representative Congress and all negotiating partners and the international public health community to ensure trade agreements do not interfere with or otherwise compromise government's ability to regulate, protect public health and health care. And that we would urge the trade representative in Congress and parties to ensure trade agreements do not interfere. To this end, any investor-state mechanism should be eliminated from the U.S. trade proposal and rescinded from existing agreements. There are hundreds of agreements that have this provision. So that's what we're calling for. In the interim, government action to protect and promote health should not be subject to challenge through investor-state disputes, and that these actions should also be exempted from vulnerability through broader global WTO disputes. Specific to tobacco, it's calling for, I'm out of time, advance and support proposals to carve out, exclude tobacco and alcohol control measures from all agreements, and ensure that the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control is recognized as controlling standards for tobacco-related disputes in trade agreements. So that's hopefully an update of where we are on tobacco, and we'll see where we go from there. Thank you.